Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're somebody who's quite down on yourself and maybe has beliefs around being not quite worthy or a little bit defective or sort of bad or flawed in some way, then when you make a mistake, I guess that can be a lot harder to let go because it sort of fits with these negative ideas you hold about yourselves. It kind of almost generates more evidence for you to hit yourself over the head with this idea that you're not good enough.
Welcome to Honesty Box, where we find the answers to the questions you thought were off limits. Hello, I'm Alex Beard, and welcome to Honesty Box at the Balance Club, where we ask the questions that you want the answers to. No judgment and no topic is off limits. If you'd like to submit your own question, you can do so super easily and anonymously at www.thebalance.club. Just click on the podcast option and a question box will pop up for you. Each week here on Honesty Box, we take one of your questions and pose it to an expert. Well, this week we're talking about self-forgiveness and the beliefs that we hold about ourselves. It's a massive topic. There's definitely things that live rent-free in my head that I should have kicked out a long time ago, but it's just not that easy, is it? Well, joining me to talk more about how we can let things go is Dr. Heather Bolton. Heather is a clinical psychologist and accredited cognitive behavioural therapist. She's worked previously in the NHS and the British prison system and now leads the psychology team at Unmind, a company aiming to empower employees to live more fulfilling and balanced lives by changing the way organisations think about mental health. Heather also recently worked alongside comedian and online star Daniel Howell, providing psychological consultation for his forthcoming book on mental health, You Will Get Through This Night, which is available to pre-order now. So the question we're pulling out of the Honesty Box this week is, how do I forgive myself for past mistakes? And I guess the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what do we mean when we say forgive ourselves? What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. What is forgiveness? And in a way, like, what is a mistake? And I think you get some people who probably do get quite tied up in things that they perceive as mistakes. They think they've not done as well as they should have, or they've maybe not acted in line with whatever standards they have. And I think ultimately that is probably what determines how easily you can say forgive yourself or not forgive yourself. So have you done something that you think needs forgiveness, or have you just kind of cocked up and you move on and that's fine? And I think that's probably quite an important distinction. And I guess for many of us, like, you know, I think anyone who's listening to this and is thinking, oh, I've never made a mistake in my life, like, I doubt there's anyone who's thinking that. Like, we all make mistakes, and I think a big part of it is like, how you kind of do you attribute that mistake to you being this kind of like awful imperfect person who always does things wrong, is inherently bad, or do you kind of attribute the mistake to things like, well, you know, I made a screw up at work, but actually the project was too difficult, or its aims weren't clearly defined, or I didn't have support from my boss, or it wasn't the right time, in which case your mistake can be sort of explained away by other things. And I think internalising a mistake or something that goes wrong and sort of attributing it to just you is probably then what takes you into this kind of, I can't forgive myself, or I need to work out if I can forgive myself, because, you know, mistakes are mistakes, and they're not necessarily down to us having some big sort of deficit.
So if it is one of those ones where you keep coming back to it and it's very much something you're holding on to and it's still affecting you, how easy is it to forgive yourself? What does the process even look like?
what is forgiveness? Like, what is saying, you know, I did something I wish I hadn't, or I made this decision I really regret, but I've kind of worked through it, and actually I've forgiven myself. What even is that? In my mind anyway, it's, and I don't think there's a kind of right or wrong answer here, but it, part of it is this kind of like self-acceptance and seeing yourself as a whole person made up of lots of different things. You make a mistake, you can let it sort of define you, you can let it change the way you see yourself, starting to see yourself as like, I don't know, defective or bad, and then you can sort of almost start acting in line with that belief. You start acting like you are incompetent, you start maybe trying to protect others from seeing those incompetencies and those weaknesses. And I guess maybe the opposite of that is sort of, like I said, it's just kind of, okay, you know, I've kind of screwed up, or I've done this thing that is out of line with who I want to be or my character, but I can accept that and I can put it down to like, it's one part of me, but it's not the whole of me necessarily. And some of us really do that. Like we can really kind of take that into our person and sort of ruminate on it and dwell and do lots of wishful thinking about what we could have done or should have done. And sometimes it is really hard to then let go. People can get really kind of stuck in those kind of like cycles of rumination and dwelling.
And is that a personality-led thing? Is that you're either that sort of person or you're not?
Some of us, I guess, me included, probably are quite prone to, you might say, like, overthinking or kind of dwelling. I think it's probably quite a female trait as well. Definitely something I've noticed, like, in sort of clinical work in the past, it tends to be quite often it's women who tend to get caught up and more worried about things like mistakes or falling short of high standards. But I think ultimately it sort of comes down to like belief systems as well. So we, all of us, have our own belief systems that kind of, you know, how we think about ourselves, how we view ourselves, and we tend to form these, you know, early on in our lives. They're very much shaped by experience, they're shaped by our parents, our teachers, our peers, and the kind of interactions we have. And if you have got kind of fairly positive beliefs about yourself, like kind of, you know, I'm an okay person, I'm someone, you know, who's got something to contribute, you're more likely to let mistakes kind of wash over you a little bit. But if you're somebody who's quite down on yourself and maybe has beliefs around being not quite worthy or a little bit defective or sort of bad or flawed in some way, then when you make a mistake, I guess that can be a lot harder to let go, because it sort of fits with these negative ideas you hold about yourselves. It kind of almost generates more evidence for you to hit yourself over the head with this idea that you're not good enough. And I guess that's different from personality. It's more just around your belief system that you formed over many, many, many years, but also I guess is changeable. I think that's quite an important thing, that noticing and developing awareness that sometimes you can fall into this sort of pattern also means it's changeable. Not necessarily easy to change if you've had a lifetime of thinking that way, but it is inherently changeable.
When you talk about changeable, is it better than, you know, you have, say you make a mistake and that is sort of, in my head, the phrase that came up was like confirmation bias. It sort of just confirms to you that, oh, I am a bit rubbish, and you sort of add it to the rubbish pile and that's good, that confirms my thinking of myself. Is it better that you start forgiving yourself for those mistakes or start working on the underlying belief that you're a little bit rubbish? Or is it both?
I think it is both. It's almost like, where do you start? And it's hard to change a belief that's been there for a long time. Often these beliefs they're not easy to surface. They're kind of buried deep, and sometimes they're hard to even put into words. It's more of a sort of just like a feeling, like I kind of feel like I'm not good enough. So I'd say probably changing, like addressing the day-to-day stuff, like noticing when you do it. So noticing, like catching yourself when something goes wrong at work or in a relationship and you're quick to kind of turn back and blame yourself for this mistake, sort of catching that, trying to sort of like catch what are the feelings, like what's going on in your head, trying to break that down. And like you say, look at the biases. Are you personalising things? Are you attributing too much to your own shortcomings? I guess are you falling into kind of traps into your head where you're sort of almost like exaggerating the gravity of things that have gone wrong? Are you sort of taking one small thing that's gone wrong and turning that into kind of, well, I'm crap at everything? So that's a great place to start, because then what if you're able to kind of break that cycle, so it's not constantly feeding back into this kind of almost like larger pot of beliefs. That is a great way to kind of start, but actually tackling these beliefs takes a bit more work and a bit more time if they've been around for a while.
Looking at everyone as a whole now, is forgiving yourself always the goal? Should we always be forgiving ourselves? Is that what we're all aiming for?
I guess the answer is probably no, that as humans, we're not all, you know, we're not just inherently good. It's not about forgiveness, maybe it's more about sort of like learning from mistakes, growing from mistakes. There's a real, we talk about kind of that difference between, you know, like having a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. People with a fixed mindset tend to sort of, I guess, almost believe that things aren't changeable, that deficits and mistakes are around to stay, where people with a growth mindset are much more likely to sort of think, well, you know, yeah, I've made mistakes, but what can I learn and how can I take this forwards? And so there's probably a distinction there between, you know, it's not kind of constantly forgiving myself for everything I've done, but thinking, well, what can I learn and what might I do differently next time in this domain? And should you be practicing endless self-forgiveness and when should you be not? And I guess it's then, it's like, well, what would you do? I don't know, if it was a really good friend, you know, what would you be saying to them and how would you treat them? There's definitely not a rule book on this in terms of you talk to yourself, what do you forgive and what do you not? I think ultimately it's trying to be sort of objective, and whatever mistakes you've made, there's definitely not much sense in just beating yourself up and not doing anything else, because either way you're not going to get anywhere by doing that, really.
And how do forgiveness and accountability exist together?
I guess they coexist, don't we? Like we do need to hold ourselves accountable for our actions, like how we treat people, how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves day to day. And ultimately, we all want to be living in line with our own personal values. That's what leads us to feel like we're leading a fulfilling life and we're happy and we're doing good. And I guess forgiveness sort of fits with that, doesn't it? Forgiving yourself for things that you perceive as having done wrong is about kind of assimilating whatever's happened into this kind of more global you. But I think it's important, like, not to be too rigid. And this is where people run into problems, is when they apply really high standards and rigid rules for themselves. So if you're someone who thinks, well, you know, it's important that I work hard and try my best, that's fine. But there's a difference to saying something like, you know, I must always give 100% and I must never fail no matter what. And when you're kind of applying those sort of standards, you're definitely going to run into problems, because if they're too extreme and too inflexible, you're inevitably going to break them. And then that leads back into the cycle of thinking, well, I've made mistakes and I've let myself down and how do I repair this? And it's inevitably those of us who have the quite critical self-beliefs, I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy of success, those kind of things, it's inevitably these sort of beliefs that lead to these really high standards, which of course are going to get broken, which of course kind of feed this thing back. So again, if we're talking about forgiveness through that lens, it's almost like stepping back and saying, hang on, like why are you talking about forgiving yourself? Like, have you actually, what have you done wrong? Like what's this thing that you've done wrong. And actually, if it's, well, I've just broken this very strict rule I have around having to be this kind of, you know, always on mum who never shouts at her kids, or this perfect colleague, or being a best friend to everyone, then, you know, if you're forgiving yourself for breaking a really unrealistic rule, then, there's, you know, I'd question whether forgiveness is something that even needs to be thought about at that point.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If the mistake made was something that it wasn't just within your own boundaries, it was something that affected more people in your life, how much does forgiveness rely, you know, personal forgiveness, do you think, rely on the forgiveness of others as well? Do you need the forgiveness of others before you can forgive yourself?
Probably hard to answer in a way when it feels like it's something that's like such a personal thing down to an individual person. Forgiveness is quite subjective. There's also a lot of emotion involved, isn't there? And even our sort of degrees of forgiving someone else for something they've done, you know, we talk about forgiving but not forgetting, and someone might talk about forgiveness, but what does that mean? You might forgive someone but not quite trust them. So often you might sort of semantically talk about someone being forgiven, but what does that really mean? It's so hard to define. Almost like paying a price or earning forgiveness. And how do you sort of quantify that? And in order to forgive yourself, do you need to feel that everyone has forgiven you completely? Do you need to do enough to sort of feel that you have kind of, yeah, like made amends for whatever's happened? It's so hard to talk about in quite generic terms, isn't it? How do you kind of define that type of forgiveness when it's so tied up in relationships?
Yeah, and so abstract, isn't it? It is sort of, when it's not tied to a set of circumstances or a person, it's quite hard to work out what forgiveness would actually look like. I think there's always so many emotions tied up in that word, and in the word mistake. And I always think, for me personally, I think mistake, and the word that automatically pops into my head is shame. And I think there's so much tied up in that word, shame. Do you think forgiving yourself, if you forgave yourself for something, do you think you can still hold on to shame? Can you forgive but still hold shame?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think shame is such a powerful emotion. It's one of the most powerful emotions. And the thing with shame is it's very internalised, and it can be quite secretive. And Brené Brown talks a lot about shame and how the kind of the secrecy like breeds that shame. And it's different from guilt, because, you know, if you feel guilty, guilt is quite distinct in a way. You know, I've sort of done this thing and I feel guilty for this thing that I've done. Whereas shame is a lot more encompassing. Shame is much more... it's not just about this thing you've done, it's like, it's about kind of being defective as a whole person, and it's really kind of really permeates. Yeah, shame is huge and can linger, and almost one of the best ways to sort of work through shame is to talk about it and to sort of get it out. It's often the hardest thing to do because of the shame. It's it's a difficult one.
I like the idea of your sort of shame is a shadow, and if you kind of open the door and let the light in, there's less shadow. Is that kind of a good way of explaining how to sort of get that shame out there and make it less powerful?
Absolutely, and that's a really nice metaphor, because it's, you know, the light comes in and suddenly as soon as the light's in, like, it doesn't seem as big or as scary. So absolutely, like, anyone who feels that shame, and, you know, if we all know that experience of shame, and it can really last. It can last for a long, long, long time. But verbalising it and trying not to hide from that feeling can be one of the best ways to kind of help it start to fade a little, in a way.
For people listening to this who are thinking about a mistake in their past, you know, it could be something 20 years ago that they held on to and they still find quite problematic, or it could be something that happened last month. Do you think there needs to be a time between something happening and the process beginning of forgiveness? Or is that something that you can get really good at, of like, I've made a mistake, I'm going to sit here, think about it, work out how serious it actually is and start processing it? Do you need that space and time, or can you get more efficient at dealing with it and processing these things?
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we could all just get, like, really efficient at kind of making mistakes, processing them, tidying them up and moving on? Again, it's quite an individual thing, and time can work in two ways. Like, time, it's that old cliche, time can be a healer, and having distance can really help. But then I guess the opposite applies, and if you've had years and years and years to stew on something and build up that sense of shame and secrecy, or build this really negative narrative around something that you've done and what that means about you as a person, in a way that makes it harder to shift. So I don't think there's a right answer for that. And yeah, it would be amazing if we could, yeah, just sort of sweep things away really quickly and deal with them, but that's just not how we work, is it? So again, I don't think there's like a clear-cut kind of right or wrong, like this is how to do this. And I guess when shame's involved, like sometimes something happens that brings it to the surface for us, like we do have to confront it, and that might not be our own choice.
What if people can't forgive themselves? It's not going to happen. That is just something they're going to have to hold on to.
And yeah, I guess like sometimes, like, no one's saying you have to forgive yourself for anything. It might be things have happened in the past that you feel like you can't forgive yourself, or you don't want to forgive yourself, and that's fine in a way. You know, you might have made a mistake that you feel you don't want to let go of, but it's thinking, so are you going to define yourself by that mistake? Or can you zoom out? Can you kind of zoom out a bit and think of all the other parts of you, like the parts of you that, you know, the mistakes you've not made and the good things you've done, and the roles that you have in life, whether that's as a friend or a parent or a colleague or a neighbour, that your mistake, no matter what it was, is not the whole you. It doesn't have to define you. But I think as well, sometimes people have ideas like, if I do forgive myself, then I've let myself off the hook, or it says something, you know, it says I don't care. Like, we have all these sorts of ideas about why we don't let go of things, and sometimes it's worth kind of exploring ideas like that, like the things that are kind of standing in the way of you forgiving yourself or letting go.
I really like that description of zooming out, and I think possibly now more than ever that's sometimes really hard to do, because life is just really zoomed in, isn't it? You know, everything is very confined to the people you see, to the world that you're experiencing, just because of what we're living through at the moment. So I think being able to zoom out and get some perspective on whatever it is you're kind of living through, dealing with, I think that's almost a bit of a superpower at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is a superpower. We certainly need superpowers at the moment. I think a lot of us are in our own heads right now because there's nowhere else to go. Kind of, you know, quite literally, there is nowhere to go, and we can't sort of run away from things. And I don't say running away in a negative way at all, but we can't go on holiday or see our friends or go to the pub, and, you know, we can't do those things. And I think just being in your head all the time, it can amplify things. And we've all got time to reflect on, you know, we've got endless time to think and to ruminate and to worry and to dwell on things. So it's important, I think, if you are a ruminator, to kind of know how to get yourself out of that headspace. And we're all different. Like, for some people, it's great just to get out the house and go for a run or go for a walk. Again, that's not always possible. And if you're lying in bed at night and it's 3 a.m, what do you do? But I think being able to catch yourself, if you're getting into that kind of negative cycle, noticing you're doing it, and find your own ways to sort of distance yourself from it. And yes, you can sort of reason with yourself, and some of the things I talked about earlier, like almost like looking at the, you know, are you being reasonable, are you being unfair on yourself? Like, that's one thing to do, but that is quite hard, especially, you know, like I say, if you're lying in bed at 3 a.m. So sometimes it's just about distancing yourself from that thought. And whether, like we said, whether that's almost zooming out and trying to get a bit of perspective, whether it's kind of just acknowledging, like, this is a thought, like, it's a thought in my head, it's just a thought, I can choose to engage with this right now, or I can sort of let it go. Many people find mindfulness quite helpful for that. Kind of, it's very much, you know, thoughts are just thoughts, they don't have to be true, they don't have to be something I fully engage in right now. It's quite an art, that kind of learning to kind of just accept these thoughts are there and accept them for what they are. It takes practice, but it can be quite helpful way of, like, not getting hooked into this kind of, like, ruminating and beating yourself up.
Yes, and I think especially now during the pandemic, so many people are feeling so overwhelmed, and there's almost not enough energy to deal with what's right in front of us, let alone give an audience to the thoughts swirling around our heads. I think that's a great place to end, Heather. Thanks so much for joining us and showing us forgiveness isn't a one-size-fits-all template. And to those of you listening, thanks for your time. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.